This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad, your alternative sideways look at the news regularly on this channel at this time. My name's Eric Wiltshire. We're at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, hence it's called Postcard from Poprad, believe it or not. And it's lovely here. It's beautiful. Little bits of snow arriving already. Very autumnal. And I'm about to go and meet the stars of tomorrow from Manchester United. Aren't I a lucky girl? On the zit of the nose of Europe, it's none other than Lee Banks.
I'm from Manchester.
Well?
Am I not a star of the future?
At your age? No.
Don't you be rude. People are going on about my age. I don't understand this. The whole world has become ageist against me.
Oh, right. And a little message for our colleague in Paris, the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander.
The very old.
Who, before we introduce him, I've just got to share with you, the citizens of Poprad have been out sweeping the paths to make sure there's no leaves on there to make it look pretty.
Oh, that's very nice. When they finish the job, they can come over here and sweep up everything over here, believe me.
I knew you were going to do that. Mark's got some interesting breaking news for us at the moment. We'll come to in a minute. First of all, I just want to say I'm sorry. I really am.
Go on, man.
Around the world, there are organisations that collect royalties for musicians, which is a good thing.
I know what you're talking about.
The one in Slovakia is called Soza, and I've had so many arguments with them over the years, you wouldn't believe it, boys and girls. And this week, on the television yesterday, I watched a report which sickened me to the core. A family was charged €2 for playing music at a funeral.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear.
It beggars belief. And what makes it even worse, the musicians were actually picketing the front of Soza, saying how despicable it was. And I'm sorry, it's all getting out of proportion, isn't it? You know, if you want to play music in a public place to more than two or three people, you have to get a licence for it.
Oh, that's right. But a funeral's a different thing, isn't it?
Exactly. I think, come on, Soza, wake up, give the family the money back.
How much did they charge them? €2?
€2.
Shall we have a collection here and send it them?
Well, I think we should. No. I think Soza should just give them the money back and be damned with it.
I think Soza should do something. That is ridiculous.
No, I agree. Also, we've had some reports this week of people being banned from going into shops. Now, there was this also sort of was focused around St. Helens in the UK. One report suggested the pound shop. Another report suggested the 99p shop. Or 99p store. So I emailed both of them. And within minutes, I got a lovely one message back, which I'll read out to you, from the 99p store. And I've had nothing back from the pound store.
Well, they're too upmarket, aren't they?
What's the difference between the 99p store and the pound store?
They're different companies.
A penny.
The pound store is flash.
Is it?
You know, I mean, you'd brag it, you know, wouldn't you? You'd spend a pound.
Oh, I shop at the pound store.
You got it all.
So anyway, I was really, because this is ridiculous to hear that people can't go into a shop wearing a poppy. And there was all sorts of speculation as to why this was. And I actually had a chat with Hussein Lalani. Sorry, Hussein.
Lalani.
Thank you. Yes, well, that's true. But, I mean, lovely man, absolutely wonderful. And so I've transcribed the conversation for you. So it goes like this. Hello, Eric. We have reviewed CCTV footage and spoken to all the staff and management in the store. I can assure you that no one was refused permission into our store in St. Helens for wearing a poppy. A couple of shoplifters, here we go, St. Helens, whatever, from Manchester, were ejected from the store when they were caught with goods they'd not been paid for. Good on you,
if
mate.
If they paid for them, they wouldn't be shoplifting.
Exactly. Nice one of saying you get them. 99 Stores fully supports the efforts of the Royal British Legion in their fundraising. We encourage all of our staff to wear poppies. And in fact, We have collection boxes in many of our stores. Nice one, Hussein. I believe this rumour was started for malicious purposes, possibly, mate, and we encounter much shoplifting and antisocial behaviour in this store, meaning St Helens. Well, Hussein, thank you for getting back to Postcard from Popper. That was very good of you. And I've had a look on your store. It's really good, Hussein, because Lee is always breaking his headphones. And on your store, I found some headphones for 99p.
Have they really got headphones for 99p? It's fantastic.
That is brilliant. And there's better than that, there's a proper pick and mix there as well.
What, for headphones?
there's loads of sets of headphones. You can get two pairs for 99p, Lee.
No.
Hussein.
Yes.
Send us some headphones. I'll pay for them. I'll send you £1.18 or whatever it comes to.
£1.18? £1.18.
99p is £1.18.
It's not, sweetheart. It's not.
No. Go on, tell him, Mark.
It's £1.98.
Yes.
No, it isn't. It's £1. It's £1. Nah. Right. Shut up,
I think you go to that back of the class.
Yes, exactly. We'll be coming on to that later. Anyway, yes. we've put a link to the store because there's some really clever stuff on there. And I have to say, most of it's branded stock as well. But the pick and mix stuff, stunning. I love that. I love pick and mix. Yeah. But for Lee's benefit...
It's good, these 99p stores, you know. You can get all sorts. You can get... I'll tell you something, because it's winter here and it's freezing.
Yep.
You can get fire bricks at a 99p store for less than £1.
You don't realise how silly that sounded.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, it is really a good deal because until recently, I mean, I just use ordinary sort of, you know, glasses, reading glasses, which I get on eBay typically for about £5 a pair.
Yep.
Blow me, I reckon that they're actually being... They're being bought from the 99p store and resold because you can get just as good ones in the 99p store for
99p.
So what? You can buy them in the 99p store and sell them for a fiver on eBay.
Well, I'm not kidding you. I'm sure that that's where people must be. They must be getting
it. Hussein, there's a good business proposition for you. Sell all your glasses on eBay. You'll make five times as much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what makes this even more sad, boys and girls, is it's actually a family-run business. So, it really is. And I wish Hussein and everybody in the run-up to Christmas an amazing time. Have a look on their store, because genuinely, there's some branded goods on there. I have never seen those prices before in England. Never, ever, ever. And much cheaper than Tesco's.
Quite a common thing now, 99p stores, pound stores.
We are putting them on our consumer help thingy that we do every week, and so the link to Hussein's place will be there. There you go.
Can I defend St Helens, though?
Lee, I know you were a creative journalist, but there are limitations even to your skills.
You're saying that St Helens can't be defended?
I didn't say that.
Ask our friend the Duke who lives there.
Oh, right.
He's got walls on.
Anyway.
St Helens is a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. It has a bad reputation, and it's unfortunate because it is a beautiful place.
I thought it was Liverpool, St Helens.
Yeah, there you can't defend Liverpool, but you can defend St Helens. See, the problem with Liverpool...
Now, what you've got to do, you can easily defend Liverpool. You just put cable ties on your hubcaps. Easy.
That's almost racist.
It's not racist. Anyway, moving along, because I forgot to say hello to everybody at Replay Radio. You lovely people over at the official Replay Radio. And to Talk Radio X on Audio Boo. And you lovely folks on RTI who are probably going to be seeing us very shortly out with Manchester United. This next story is quite alarming. And I have to say, it just proves that parliamentary people have got about as much nous as an amoeba.
And it also proves that they are abject liars.
No, it doesn't. It just proves they've got about as much nous as a blinking amoeba. A senior government official has got all sorts of people with rushed blood for some reason by advising internet users to give fake details to websites to protect their security. I'm not totally with that, but I am with this. This is my name, this is where I live, and if you can go to any any websites like Facebook, Twitter or whatever, and not one of them has my correct date of birth. Not one of them.
So you lie about your age.
Well, I'll be doing that for donkey shit anyway. Whose phone's that?
Yeah, excuse
it's
me.
Not mine. It's him again. He's such a bad person.
And I have to say that this Labour MP, Helen Goodman, who is suggesting that this advice is totally outrageous. Helen, what planet do you live on?
Yeah.
What planet do you live on, Helen? The last thing you want to do is put your correct date of birth on a non-official type website. And I'm by non-official, I mean Google. I mean Facebook. I mean Yahoo. Of course, when you're filling
in... You mean the internet?
No. Of course, when you are filling in your tax returns or wanting to claim some money from the government, you do have to put your correct date of birth on that particular site. But on other sites... Not a chance, Helen.
Yes, but I think you're absolutely right, and I think that she's talking nonsense here.
Yes.
But I think that there are more serious issues here. The first thing is that I think actually that there should be at the very least some discouragement, but probably laws to prevent these kind of sites are even asking for these details, because these details are not required to deliver things. They're not required for security.
They are required for one reason.
Well, there's nothing to stop you using passwords instead. These details are really required simply to give value to Facebook, to allow them for marketing and this kind of thing.
Sorry. I'm
going to completely disagree.
There's actually regulations, Mark, that prevent...
Ladies and gentlemen, they're having a row this week.
There's actually regulations that state that they must have date of birth on certain things when you sign up. It's part of the US regulation, it's part of EU regulation and all sorts of other things. So
I've got a feeling that all they want to know is that you're over 13.
Right. I accept that.
Why do you want to know if you're over 13? Why 13?
Because there's something called copper or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's right. But I think they could take a leaf out of the book of places like television stations, where should there be some slightly naughty words spoken in a drama, for example, where you have to tick a box to say you're over 16... I think that should suffice for the likes of Messrs. Google and Facebook as well.
I think that's absolutely right, but I have to defend Ms. Goodman, because it wasn't her who said that you should lie on the internet. It was Andy Smith who said it. He was a security chief at the Cabinet Office. She was defending what we're saying. She was going down our line.
No, she's not.
But it also... Eh?
She's not. She says it's totally outrageous to put false data on the internet.
Well, I think she's totally wrong, and I think it's totally outrageous for these sites to require or to persuade or to encourage people, especially young people, with a sense.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, we do apologise this week, boys and girls, because we are having a few communications issues, as they say, across the pond, and I don't know why, but we'll keep going and see how we get on. I do find it slightly... difficult to understand where this particular person's coming from. And let me put it this way. There are occasions where innocently things like laptops, things like keys, storage keys, all sorts of things accidentally get lost. And it's the way it goes. And the trouble is, at that point, if there's something on there with a date of birth on it, you're screwed.
Well, I'm not sure you're screwed. You see, what you said at the beginning, first of all, I have to say that this is the British government telling you to lie on websites. I think anything to do with the government telling you to lie is just wrong. But also, the simple fact is, if you're going to tell people where you live, you're going to put photographs of yourself on holiday and tell people when you're going on holiday, you're going to reveal everything. Why not reveal your date of birth? But I don't think you should reveal anything on the internet.
No, and the other thing is, quite right, girls.
But I mean, listen, date of births are extremely important, for instance, for things like identity theft.
Of course they are.
I mean, let me say that all of these organisations are required to register with the Information Commissioner. And if they don't know what that is in the States, it's somebody who's meant to sort of monitor and check up and keep control of the kind of data that companies get and what they do with it. Mm. And the trouble is that there's really no scrutiny. I can simply fill out...
You can. Sorry, we lost Mark again. Whoops. You can simply fill out a form and put it on there. And this craziness of, at the bottom of a form, filling your electronic signature at the bottom, where you can put Mickey Mouse, if you like, and it still goes through, is just plain appalling.
I think the whole thing of this whole thing about giving away so much information on the internet, and yet, you know, we have what's called data protection in England, where if your bank phones you up to discuss your account with you, they've phoned you up on your phone and asked if it's you, and then won't discuss something with you if you won't give them your date of birth on the phone. It's ludicrous.
Let's cut this to the quick a bit, and I'm going to do one of my top tip bits here. Never, ever, and I've seen adverts suggesting you do this, like rip up your bank account and keep all your details on your phone. Don't do it.
Absolutely not.
Keep none of your passwords on your phone that are connected to your bank. Never, ever keep anything like a date of birth document, your date of birth, or anything on a laptop, a computer, or anything that somebody else could inadvertently get hold of. Do not do it. If your brain doesn't remember it, tough luck. Write it on a bit of paper or something. Put it
and
in
keep
a different
that in your
pocket.
Wallet that somebody might need.
No. Keep it in a different pocket. Keep things separate. Please keep things...
What if somebody nicks your jacket like happened on the next story?
Well, if they nick your jacket, then your wallet's in your pocket and they've got nothing. Hey. All they've got is some numbers. If you keep your date of birth or your password in your jacket, unless they've got your wallet, then they can't use that password on your credit card, can they?
I love it when you get your top tips out.
Thank you. Before we do the Olympics bit, I want to go on to this another subject that is relatively new, and one that affects a lot of expats, especially, who travel to and from the UK. It's about buying products when you're in a different country to your local country. So if you're a Spanish resident, an English-Spanish resident, and you have a Spanish bank account, you go back to Blighty and buy things, you could be making a big mistake. Mark?
Yeah, well, people know I'm in Paris most of the time, so I've often got this. Let me say, this is just something that I picked up on the BBC today, and I thought it was very interesting because I've been wondering what it's all about. I go into a shop here in France, for instance, and I pay with a debit card or a credit card. I put it in the machine, and in the past few months, instead of it just telling the money and I put in my PIN code, it now says, do I want to pay in the local currency, which is euros, or do I want to pay in sterling pounds? Do I want to pay in British currency? Yeah. And I've never really known what it's about. And I have to say that once or twice I've said to the retailers, what should I choose? And they've said, oh, well, it's much better if you choose the British currency. And that's what I did. I've chose the British currency, and it then allows me to put the PIN code in, and then you pay. Well, I heard a documentary just today on the BBC that says that this is something called direct currency conversion. I'm not too sure what it's all about, other than if you choose to pay by your own currency, in other words, foreign currency in that area. So if I wanted to pay with British currency, or if you were an American in Europe, if you wanted to pay in dollars, actually what would be happening is that you would be paying your dollars directly to the retailer. The retailer decides their own fixed conversion rate. In other words, they've actually fixed a rate for converting the currency, which has got very little to do with the market rate, very little to do with the bank rate, could easily be even as much as maybe 1% or more than the normal rate. In other words, it's not the best rate. And you then pay them, they receive the money in pounds, they then convert it at their bank, which is obviously going to be less because they're making a profit on the deal. And the profit that they make is then split between the card issuer and the shop. I have to say, I'm incensed.
Time for a top tip. What should I do? So I've got a Slovak bank account, right?
Yeah.
And if I go to Poland, which is a different currency,
should
I pay in zlotys for Poland, or should I pay in euros for Slovakia?
The top tip from the BBC is that you should always pay in your local currency. I'm going to give you another top tip, by the way.
Does that mean my local currency?
You pay in your local currency. In other words,
euros.
You pay in the local currency of where you're shopping.
Okay? Uh-huh.
So if you're shopping in Poland, you pay in Polish currency.
Uh-huh.
And then that will be a straight conversion directly to the bank, and the retailer doesn't get anything more.
Right.
And so this seems to be very, very important. I think it's a scandal that we're not told about it. And apparently it's been going on for some time. But there's an even bigger top tip, because apparently they're all required now to offer you both, either your local currency or either the card currency, in other words, or the shop currency, the shop country currency.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's a bit of a scam going, because sometimes when the retailer, the seller, gives you the machine, what you don't realize is that they've already clicked off the one. Oh. And so you're simply offered a machine with a figure on it, and what you don't realize is that they've already chosen the disadvantageous rate for you. In other words, they've already chosen your card currency, your own personal local currency of your country of residence, current your bank account. If that happens, you should refuse, and you should return it, and you should ask it to be redone. You should ask it to be cancelled, and you want to see it from beginning to end.
Right.
I had no idea. What another great way of stealing from the customers.
Amazing. Unbelievable.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, good point.
Thank you, Mark.
I must admit, I've witnessed this happening when I've been abroad. And like Mark says, it's not a new thing. It's an old thing. It's gone on for a long time.
Mm.
And I never realised what was happening.
Well, all we can, I will say it on behalf of the audience, Mark. Thank you very much.
Yeah, cool.
Well, it's the BBC, and you know, let me say, I've got to read up. I've understood it correctly, but
expect nothing less than a fact sheet being put on the Consumer Action Group website, and we'll stick a link to it from our website.
Absolutely.
There you go. Right. Team GB Olympic stars had their medals stolen as they celebrated after going to Buckingham Palace. A 29-year-old man has been arrested by police investigating the theft of two Olympic bronze medals. What a plank.
Mm. Ew. The thief. Or the people who had them nicked?
No, well, if you put... I don't see why you shouldn't just leave your jacket down. Somebody shouldn't nick your jacket.
Of course they shouldn't nick your jacket, but maybe you shouldn't leave your Olympic medals in it.
Why not?
Just in case somebody does nick it.
They shouldn't nick anything.
Nobody should nick anything, and a 29-year-old should be ashamed of himself and should be pilloried in court for doing what he did. It was shameful.
I've just got a story flashing to my head from when I was an apprentice, would you believe it or not?
And how can that be a story flashing in your head? You can't remember that far back.
And I would not endorse, condone, or suggest anybody should do this. But there was this rather large Irish gentleman at the top of some scaffolding on a building site.
Right.
And there was this other little oik. I was working away, and this other little oik walked past, and he saw a hammer on the floor.
Right.
And he picked the hammer up.
Yeah.
And this voice from above said, "I won't be phoning the police. You'll be phoning an ambulance when you've got broken fingers. Put my hammer down."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I kind of agree with him.
I agree with you, but I also think that there is a certain plankishness about two athletes who go to Buckingham Palace taking their hard-earned medals with them,
mm-hmm.
and they're quite proud of them,
yeah.
and then go to a nightclub and leave them in the pockets.
But it begs
I think
a question...
that has an element of plankishness to it.
It begs the question, Lee. They shouldn't have to worry about it.
But we do. We do. That's like saying, don't bother to look left or right when you're crossing the road, because we shouldn't get run over by cars.
Well, no, if you're on the crossing, you shouldn't. But not if you're going to go jaywalking, you nana. It's official. The longest double-dip recession since the Second World War is over! God, that's going to... That shout is going to wreck every engineer's ears on the planet.
You shouldn't have done it, should you?
The economy in the UK grew by higher than expected 1% in the three months from July to September, the Office for National Statistics said. I have a question for Mark, because this fits into his world.
Yeah.
If the recession's not as bad as it was,
yes.
are you on the... on the CAG website seeing a decrease of people in financial difficulties?
No, not at all. I mean, these kind of things, I mean, if this really is happening, I mean, there'll be, you know, it'll be very, very slow to work its way through. I'm not sure what at what point in the economy this is measured, but I don't think it's measured in terms of things on the high street. I'm quite certain of that. So I think we've got a long way to go. And of course, we're looking to a very, very difficult time coming. We've had news of severe.
Right, but I'm going to jump across you there, Mark, because it does actually say in this statement, Olympics and Paralympic ticket sales contributed 0.2% growth.
Yeah.
So it is kind of high street, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it is high street, but all it means is that we've had a lot of tourists coming in and pouring money through, okay? But, I mean, the money goes into these big companies. I suppose that some of that will be taxed off, but then some of it will go into their profits. Somebody will pay it out to their shareholders. By the time the money comes around and eventually starts maybe going into factories or into jobs or anything like that, it will be well watered down. It will be quite some time off. It takes a long time for money that's brought into the economy to actually sort of circle around and get to you and me.
Right.
Yeah, well, I think we have to be positive about it and say that at least things are showing the way ahead. And particularly if you look at the construction industry in Britain, that's showing signs of really good growth. In fact, I saw a story earlier today. The oldest building firm in the country, this firm, believe it or not, I was absolutely amazed, started in 1581. And is still going today.
Jeez.
And they are saying
that builders always take a long time, I think. It's terrible.
But they are saying that their order book finally is actually showing an increase. So things are improving. No, but one thing I want to say, and I think this is absolutely incredible, and I think this shows what the British economy really is like, is there is a young lady I know, right, who has £12,000 in the bank. £12,000, not a fantastic amount of money, but sort of comfort money, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The sort of money that makes you go, oh, that's nice, I've got 12 grand in the bank. She showed me her statement, right? Mm-hmm. And do you know how much interest she got last month on her £12,000?
No.
Not a lot.
38p.
38p?
38 pence. Of course you could have it in that. It's in a specific, it's in a basic bog standard account. So obviously she could put it in a different one, but she's got it in that account for a reason. Okay. And 38 pence the bank gave her for allowing them to use her 12 grand to do what they want with.
Don't start me on that, because I mean, I think the problem, yes, I agree that banks should charge you if you're being an idiot and go overdrawn without approval. I agree with that. But when you're in credit, the bank's got your money.
And he's playing with it. He's doing things with it. He's not just sitting there. He's not like a little old lady sitting there. Oh, this belongs to so-and-so. I'll look after that.
Exactly.
They're actually using it to make themselves money, and they give you 38 pence for doing
it. End of part one. We'll be back with part two with the misery of the home loan cons. Dear listener, do not go away.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.
Eric, give me a break.